Well, good morning, everybody, or should I say good evening? It's Thursday evening, and it's the first day of our lockdown again. We all thought things were going to be so different, and we're locked down for 4 weeks, but we're not locked out from God's love and from God's grace. And tonight, I'm joined by John. He's on camera. We've got Martin doing the sound, and it's great tonight. We've got Phyllis, our wonderful church secretary, who's going to do our reading and share something about what's happening. Well, another season has begun on this Remembrance Sunday week. And we're going to share a formal time of remembrance later on in our service. And there's so much to remember. And my opening reading will set the theme for remembering and remembrance. And a God who is faithful in everything and every activity under the heavens. I'm going to read to you now from the book of Ecclesiastes, and when we had a leadership meeting on Monday, I shared this, and it spoke to me on Monday evening, and it continues to speak to me, because the Word of God says there is a time for everything, and every season, for every activity under the heavens. And so this may come as a shock to us. We may be disappointed we're in lockdown, we may be worried. But this is still a time for us to draw close to God, and a time that's of no surprise to God. And then the writer of Ecclesiastes goes on and tells about these different events. There is a time to be born, and there's a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Well, this is a time, isn't it, where we're not embracing one another with our 2 meter rules. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and on this Remembrance Sunday, a time for war and a time for peace. You know, our opening song's going to pick up this theme of different times, but it also picks up the amazing truth over all time that your God and my God is faithful in all these changes. He changes not. And it's a modern take on How Great Is Your Faithfulness by Matt Redman. Let's worship God now as you listen to the words of this song.
Changes all turns, unfailing justice, unfailing grace, whose promises remain. Yes, your promises remain. Now unto the King who reigns over all and never changes all turns, unfailing justice, unfailing grace, promises remain. Yes, your promises remain. The heavens ring, the saints all sing. Great is your faithfulness. From age to age, we will
Let's just pray together now, picking up the words of that wonderful hymn. And so we pray to the God and the King who reigns over all, to the one who never changes or turns, the one who is unfailing in justice, but unfading in grace, whose promises remain. Thank you, Lord, that you never fade in your offer of grace. And no matter how far we wander from you, your promises to us remain the same. And so from age to age, we will proclaim, great is your faithfulness. How great is your faithfulness. And as the words of the song says, everything changes. But you stay the same. For those, Lord, whose lives are in turmoil and change. For those, Lord, who are worried about health, worried about loved ones, worried about employment, worried about resources. For those who are just worried. Help them and us and all of us to trust forevermore in you. Because from generation to generation, you never fail, O God. And yesterday and today and tomorrow, until the day you return, we declare in song, we declare in word, and now we declare in prayer, how great is your faithfulness. Amen. Well, as I said to you early, we're going to have a formal time now of remembrance, but I just want to draw your attention to these remembrance flowers here, done by two wonderful ladies in our fellowship, Lynn Rivett and Elspeth Payne. I normally have to give them some help and advice on how to do these arrangements, but they've done all this themselves without my help. I'm only joking. Let me say, Lynn and then Elspeth, really appreciate what you've done. Very, very good indeed. So thank you. And it does set the scene for our remembrance. You all probably know that we are actually a Baptist church, and if you're watching online now, you're watching a service from London Road Baptist Church, and we're affiliated, we're part of the Baptist Union of Great Britain, and there's about 3,500 churches in our UK Baptist family. and thousands worldwide. Now in this country, each area of the United Kingdom is divided up into associations or regions, and we're part of the Eastern Region, which includes Cambridgeshire, Essex, Norfolk and Suffolk. And helping us to coordinate things, we have three fantastic regional ministers, and I suppose they could be best described in the Anglican tradition as sort of bishops. But in one sense, because we believe in the priesthood of all believers, we don't really have a hierarchy in the Baptist Church. They're part of our family. They're part of this family at London Road, part of the Baptist family in Suffolk, part of the Baptist family in East Anglia, part of the Baptist family in the United Kingdom. And they serve us fantastically. And you all probably know, if you're a regular to London Road Baptist Church, of Beth Pownie, and she primarily covers our geographical area, and she also heads up the team. But one of the other two regional ministers is your friend and my personal friend, Nick Lear. And the other's a great friend of mine called Graham Ross. And they're great guys. But Nick Lear has helped this church many times. And he also oversees safeguarding, as well as for all the area, and oversees the churches primarily in Essex. And it was really good for Nick to write to me, and he sent me a video clip, and he's going to lead our time of remembrance. And if you're blessed by Nick, then Google him, go on the EBA website, Eastern Baptist Association, and send him an email and say, thank you, Nick, for blessing us with your remembrance thoughts. And so I'm going to hand you over now to Nick, and then after Nick has finished, I'm going to hand over to Phyllis. And not only do people like Nick manage a whole area, but Phyllis is our wonderful church secretary, and she helps manage the day-to-day business and life of this church and its spiritual well-being. And Phyllis is going to come up immediately after we've heard from Nick. So, by the way, Nick and I went to college together. We was at Spurgeon's together. So let me hand over to you now, to my friend, your friend, and a great worker for our denomination, Nick Lear.
On Remembrance Sunday, we use words like, we will remember them, or lest we forget. And as in a moment we share 2 minutes of silence together, we will remember. We will be reminded of the sacrifice that people have made, laying down their lives in order that we might be free. So I invite you, if you would like to stand and then to join in our 2 minutes of silence. The time will begin with the last post played on a bugle. And then after the 2 minutes of silence, there will be Reveille, the wake-up song. And then I'll lead us in the familiar words we often use at Remembrance Day and invite you to repeat the last line, we will remember them.
Friends, let us remember in silence before God all those who have died in war. Thank you. They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them.
I invite you to pray with me. Father of mercies and God of all comfort, we pray this day for all those who continue to suffer because of war, widows, orphans, and all who are bereaved, the wounded, crippled, deaf, dumb, and blinded, the shell-shocked and the traumatized, refugees without home, work, or country. Grant to them all your healing and strength, your help and consolation. And use us in this service, we pray. God of hosts, yours is the battle against evil. Through the cross, yours is the victory over death. We come to you with memories of war and death, with scars of victory and defeat. By your Son, Jesus, who bears the scars of his victory, won not for himself but for others, grant us this day healing for the past and resolution for the future. So may your world discover and know that peace, which is your purpose for us all, that we may change. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. In case you don't know me, my name is Phyllis Axon, and I serve here at London Road as Church Secretary. Sadly, this current coronavirus season has been a very worrying and unsettling time for everyone. I'm sure all of you have really missed worshipping together and meeting on a Sunday morning. Over the past few weeks, a small team of us have been busy working out how we might organise a COVID-19 secure Sunday service, following all the government's guidelines. We were at that place and felt excited that our first service back was Sunday the 15th of November. But as you are aware, we are now in lockdown. We will continue to organise Sunday morning services online, and hopefully we may get back together sometime in December. Our reading today comes from Luke 7, verses 1 to 10. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far off from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. That one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Amen. Now let's just come together and just spend a few moments in prayer. Father, we know that you are a great, mighty, awesome God, and that you love us and would want to bless us greatly. We come before you now recognizing that we fail you many times in our everyday living. As the centurion recognizes unworthiness, we come to you now and say sorry for the wrongdoing in our lives. But we rejoice that even in our weakness, you are there beside us, ministering to us daily through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray for our world, especially for those who have been affected by coronavirus, for the many people who are facing sorrow, fear, isolation, and illness. Give wisdom to those who make important decisions that affect us all, for our politicians and scientists, for doctors, nurses, and all those involved in caring for others and give of themselves to look after the sick. Help us show our part in showing God's love, kindness, and compassion in a world that is full of fear. On this special Sunday, we would also want to remember those within our church family who have loved ones serving in the armed forces. For those who have fought and are still traumatized physically or mentally by the experiences of serving in war-torn areas. We pray for peace and restoration, for our soldiers, past and present, for their families, and for our wider world that is in turmoil. We ask you to be with those within our church family who are unwell, for Doreen, Kim, David and June, Fliss, Malcolm and Yvonne, Angie, Peter, Anne, Barbara, David and family, Sue and David, Clive and Marilyn, Rick and Irene, Terry and Christine, Vi, David and Madeline. We pray for strength, healing, freedom from pain, peace, and that each one will feel the warmth of your presence. Finally, Father, I pray that you will bless Neil as he preaches to us today. As we listen to your word, give us open hearts and minds. I pray that you will fill our hearts with love and keep us rejoicing in you by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we may be strengthened and equipped to serve you. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So before Neil comes to speak to us, and we're now going to watch a video which will help you understand a little bit more about the reading from Luke. Thank you.
Fresh today, I picked them myself.
You and all the same old story.
Feel the affection of his.
And the servants went out and invited everybody they met.
A Roman here? How dare you?
And
is he a centurion?
So the wedding hall was full of people.
I'm sorry if I disturbed you, Rabbi, but I would like to ask you a great favor. I have a servant in my house. I've had him a long while, and he's good, loving, more like a son than a servant. He's very sick, dying, I fear. Rabbi, in all humility...
You would like me to come to your house? Very well. I will come with you.
No, I am unworthy that you should enter under my roof. I know that if you say the word, my servant will be healed. I am a man under authority, but I myself have authority over 100 soldiers, and if I say to one of them, do this, I know that he will do it. And if I say to another, go there, I know that he will go. I need not see. I know. So it is enough that you give the word, and it will be done.
Do you hear this man? I have seldom found such faith among the people of Israel. Go home. Your faith has cured your servant.
So he's a friend of the Romans. Your orders are changed.
But we know we are the chosen people. How can a pagan be worthier than a son of Israel?
Everybody is welcome at my father's table. Rich, poor, masters, servants, the children of Abraham and the pagans.
Theseus! 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 Come home, it's all right! Marcus is well, your servant is cured!
What?
Come on! Come on, come and see for yourself!
It's all right!
I saw my eyes, it's cured!
Theseus!
Come on! Come to your house!
So here we are on Remembrance Sunday, and I think it's interesting, we're going to look at a military man on Remembrance Sunday, and the story we're going to look at, the encounter we're going to share together this morning, is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's just called his disciples, they're a real ragtag mixed bunch. There's been a little bit of healing, there's been a little bit of teaching on loving your enemies, and it's interesting that really an enemy of the Jewish people was these Romans. And here we get this immediate conversation between Jesus and a centurion. He talked about good trees bearing good fruit and vice versa. And then we end up at the beginning of this reading, we're going to look at it and go through it like we've been doing the last few weeks, at Capernaum. This is Jesus's home. Matthew tells us that when Jesus last left Nazareth, he went to go live in Capernaum after being tempted in the wilderness. So I'm going to put my glasses down now, and we're going to go now, and we're going to look at the overhead, and hopefully you've got a Bible in front of you, that wonderful reading that Phyllis read so well to us. We're in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. And so when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, and he'd just been telling, as I'm saying, about wise and foolish builders, what you're going to build your life on, and wise and foolish nations. And he entered Capernaum. It's his local town, it's his local city. And there was a centurion servant whom his master valued highly. Let me just say something about this centurion. This centurion may have been a Roman centurion, but Herod had centurions, but he's a significant guy. He was in charge of 100 men at least. He had authority and he had power. Now, it's very interesting for you to know that on Remembrance Sunday, that Jesus constantly engaged the military and he spoke to military personnel. And it's interesting, when you check out the gospel references to centurions, they come out very, very positively. I was just sharing to John a moment ago that it's really fantastic, but the first person to understand what's happening at the crucifixion, when everybody else is confused and wailing, and his mother's really upset, there's people saying he's shouting to Elijah, there's a thief, one thief on the cross gets it, the other doesn't, and it's all this confusion situation. And the Roman centurion who undertook the death sentence of Jesus, in Mark says these wonderful words, surely this man is the Son of God. And it's good to remember that. And what Jesus often said to these people was, don't abuse your power. But Jesus accepted the authorities of this world. And there's a centurion servant. Now, in those days, there's different kinds of servanthood. And for some people, they would want to be a servant. It meant security. It meant you could be part of a family. It meant that you had security in old age. But in other parts of the Middle East society, when a servant was of no longer of any value, he was thrown out on the scrap heap. He could be disposed of. He could be executed. He had no rights. It was an implement. And so a servant was seen as an implement. And when the plough went rusty and couldn't plough anymore, you threw it away. And when a servant couldn't serve anymore, you threw it away. But this man loved his servant. His master valued him highly. And it says that he was sick and about to die. Now, it's interesting. When we read this story in Matthew's Gospel, he's already dead. So it doesn't really matter if you're going to die or you're dead. It's the same spiritual condition. And so let's move on. And the centurion heard of Jesus. Now, he'd heard of Jesus, because I mentioned this earlier, I believe. You see, Jesus was around for 30 years before he went public. And actually, when he went public for his last 3 years, it's only in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, he went very public. So it's in all probability that this centurion, because he was from Capernaum, because it was a small place, he knew of Jesus, he'd met Jesus, we don't know how, but obviously Jesus had a good reputation in that local town. And it says he sent some elders of the Jews to ask him to come and heal his servant. I just want to say to you, if you don't really get who Jesus is, he gets who you are. And you can ask him to do things for you, and you can ask him to do things for your friends. If you come to him with the right attitude. And this guy has this wonderful attitude, but he doesn't want to offend Jesus. He sort of respects the Jewish custom, so he sends some elders, and I'll explain that in a moment. Let's move on, Martin. And when he came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. In other words, they made great representation with him. They said, look, Jesus, help this man, help this man. I just want to tell you, it's okay to plead to Jesus. Don't be polite in your prayers. Plead in your prayers. And they say this thing, this man deserves to have you do it. He doesn't say it. How often have we said that? That person doesn't deserve that. That ill person doesn't deserve that. Or if somebody does something wrong, that person deserves it. And one of the things we've been learning about is this thing called grace, where we don't get what we deserve. But these people said he deserves it because he says he loves our nation. Now, maybe this Roman centurion, he'd come with all his paganism from Rome, he'd seen Mars and Jupiter and all the superstitious mumbo jumbo, and he must have been listening a little bit to the one God, the Jewish God, our God, and he must have thought there's some validity in that. And so this guy has paid for the synagogue. You know, God has always been interested in the whole world. The problem for the Jewish nation, they thought God was theirs. For God created the whole world, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And sometimes, even today, people think that sort of God loves Israel more than lower stuff. No, he doesn't. He loves you as much as me. And he loves the Jew of today as much as he loves the Jew of yesterday and the Gentile of today. And if this guy wanted to become a Jew, so a Gentile that becomes a Jew is called a proselyte. And proselytes, instead of being circumcised as babies, had to be baptized. And a lot of people don't realize that. They think that baptism began in the New Testament, but baptism was always the way in to the Christian faith. That's why when John the Baptist, you remember, he was baptizing people, and those people are saying, John, why are you baptizing people? We're sons and daughters of Abraham. Because synagogues had Baptist pools in them. Not in my notes, but I'm just saying that's why we're Baptists. And so we get baptized. And maybe this guy's on a journey. And I love that. So it says, so Jesus went with them. He just gently said, yeah, let me go and have a look at this. Let's move on, Martin. Now, when he was not far off, why have I underlined not far off? Because the Bible says that if you draw close to God, he will draw close to you. I love the story of the prodigal son later on in Luke. It says, when the wayward son was a long way off, the father ran to him. I just want to tell you, if you want an encounter with Jesus, you've only got to turn round and God comes running to you to embrace you. I love that. When he was a long way off from the house, and when the centurion sent friends to him, say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself. Now he says, I do not deserve this. What a humble man. Everybody's saying about this centurion, he deserves it. And yet the centurion says, I don't deserve this kindness. I don't deserve this kindness. And then he says, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Now the reason Luke wants to tell us that is that if you was a Jewish person and a Roman Gentile came into your house, he defiled your house. Do you remember when Peter went into the Roman official Cornelius' house? And they all said, you shouldn't, this is in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. And when he went back to the disciples, they said, what are you doing? What are you doing? You've gone into a pagan's house. You've gone into a Roman official's house. And so really there would be all these rituals that the Jewish man and the Jewish family would have to go through to reclaim the purity of their house. Now, this man respects that. Now, we think that's daft, but it shows the respect and the decency of this military man. He says, don't trouble yourself. I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Let's move on. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. My background's Anglican. I'm really grateful for my Anglican roots. And I used to always struggle with that little bit in the Anglican communion where we say, I'm not so worthy as to pick up the crumbs under your table. But then there's a difference between worthy and worth. And people get mixed up. Being unworthy doesn't say you are worthless. You are worth the body and blood and the death of Jesus Christ. We are unworthy, but we are worth so much. And so you may be unworthy of God's grace, but to God you are worth so much. He gave his very best for you. You can always measure the value of anything by the price paid for it. And you've been paid with the highest price, God's own son. So never think you are worthless, but understand you and I are unworthy. In other words, we don't deserve God's grace, but by heck, I'm going to enjoy it when God gives it to me. And then he says, but say the word. There's power in the word of God. It was the word of God that brought creation into being. The word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us, John says in the beginning of his gospel, that great verse. And so there's power in the words. You know, and I just want to say to this, if you want to pray for somebody and you want to see God's work and God do the miraculous, don't think that you can speak better than Scripture. Sometimes we're embarrassed of the word of God and we think, well, let's make it more palatable. Let's make it more applicable to the society we live in. Yes, our methods need to change. By heck, they do. But let's keep the original script and the original words. There is power in the words of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. But say the word and my servant, not maybe, will be healed. He's claiming it. He's saying, look, just say it, Jesus. Say it, Jesus. And this is going to happen. Let's move on. For I myself am a man under authority. He's saying he understands authority. And do you know, you are a person under authority. If you are a Christian, you are an ambassador. You have Jesus' authority to speak out in his name. And the Bible sends us out as ambassadors. It means that we have Jesus' authority when we're about his business. Do not think that your prayers and your utterance and your preaching and your sharing of the gospel lacks power. And with soldiers under me, and he says, go and he goes, and come and he comes, and do this and he does it. And it's understanding that all authority in heaven has been given to Jesus at the end of Matthew's gospel. And then Jesus says, well, all authority has been given to me, but you go. Let's move on. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. I like that. Do you know you can amaze Jesus? I like that. Neil Smith. Little fat bald-headed bloke from Yorkshire can amaze Jesus. If I do things that are out of character. John, you can amaze Jesus. Martin, you can amaze Jesus. Phyllis, you can amaze Jesus. I love that. I always think about Jesus amazing me. And we sing all these hymns about amazing Jesus and amazing grace. And the word of God says here that we can amaze Jesus. I love that. Does what I do amaze Jesus? And turning to the crowd following him, said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. Just before this, Jesus had been talking to the crowd about true faith, contagious faith, about a true vine. And it's a contrast that. And what Jesus is sort of saying to this crowd is, Israel's got it wrong. And this pagan has got it right. It's the upside down kingdom. It always goes the opposite way to what we expect. Let's move on, Martin. And then the man and the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Why did they find the servant well? Because Jesus is true to his word. And Jesus is still true to his word. And if you're going to remember one thing on Remembrance Sunday, remember Jesus is faithful and Jesus is true to his word. And we've learnt that together this morning from a military man on Remembrance Sunday. Well, it'll be great to see you next week. We would have gone to be having a baptismal service next week. I've had to change the script. I'm going to be preaching on another encounter next week. But if you've been touched by anything we've said this morning, you want to get to know more about our denomination, if you're a regular with us and you want to know more about the EBA, the Eastern Baptist Association, and Nick, then have a look on the EBA website and it will tell you about the larger Baptist family. If you want to say thank you to Nick, please send him an email. If you want to say thank you to Phyllis, please encourage them. If you want to say thank you for John and Stuart and Martin, who put these services together so wonderfully every week, contact them, say thank you, and Fox, who does all the editing. If you want to be prayed for this morning, then contact Bill and Di if you're a regular, and they will pray for you. And if you want to get to know us more and you want to contact me, then please contact me through the website. And as long as we're socially distanced and we're sensible, we will do our best to help you. So bless you, and it's been great seeing you this morning. And we're going to finish again with a song we've had a couple of times recently, By Faith. And I just think this tells us about what can happen when we act by faith like the Roman centurion. So bless you and see you all next week. Bye. Built by God's own hand.
We'll walk by faith and not by sight.